During the month of December, we've been going through a series of messages entitled The Depth of Christmas. As we have walked through the series, we have been reminded that the world no longer places a theological emphasis or significance on Christmas. The world's focus is more on presents, Santa Claus, decorations. And it's been made apparent that the culture we are living in attaches a shallowness and even a mockery to the meaning of Christmas. Because of this, we have decided to take a deeper look, a deeper dive into Christmas, a look our culture doesn't want to look at. In our first week, we started at what God did at Christmas by looking at the first chapter of the book of John. There, we saw that John didn't start at the manger or even start with ancestral lines as Matthew and Luke did, but John started at the beginning. In fact, he used those words, in the beginning, which are the same words that were used in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, in the beginning. And through that, we started or realized that because Jesus was at creation, we realized he did not originate in the manger. He's eternal. During this series, we also looked at Colossians chapter 2 and Hebrews chapter 1 as they teach us the doctrine of hypostatic union. That is, Jesus was 100% deity as well as 100% humanity. And as our pastor stated, in the manger, when you put 100% humanity and 100% deity, you get 100% humanity and 100% deity. You don't get a 50-50 mix. You don't get a gobbledygook of something. You get 100% deity and 100% humanity. And this morning, the Sunday before Christmas, as we finish the series, many may have the desire or even the expectation that this Sunday before Christmas, we're going to hear the beautiful story, the beautiful Christmas story of Jesus being born in a manger to Mary and Joseph. And the shepherds arriving after having been told by a multitude of heavenly hosts, saying, "Glory to God in the highest," that we get to hear that story this morning. Sorry to disappoint. We're going to look, continue to look at the depth of Christmas. So if we're going to look at why we need Christmas, we're going to look at the gift of Christmas. And so if you have your Bibles, please turn to the book of Romans, chapter 5, beginning with verse 12. It's a long text, but stay with me. "Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come." Verse 15, "But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. For if, by cause of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous." Verse 20, "Now the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through the righteousness leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." In verse 12, as we look at letter A on your outline if you have one, why we need Christmas. In verse 12, Paul points out for all to see that sin came in the world through one person, Adam. It's like he put a spotlight. Imagine a dark world and then a spotlight shines out and it focuses on one person, Adam. He's the guy. He's the one who did it. Paul points it out. And we all remember the story in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, how God created this world, took 6 days to create the world, and then on the seventh day he rested. During that time, he made Adam the head of mankind, created Eve. And he told Adam, he says, listen, you can dwell in the garden, but there's one thing you can't do. I do not want you to partake of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. One thing, one directive. You've got one job. Well, going to Genesis chapter 3, we see that the serpent, the devil, tempted Eve. She took the fruit, turned to Adam, says, hey, this is pretty good. Tastes good. And Adam said, okay. He had one job. You see, we can see the love that God had for mankind here because God had basically took care of all of mankind's needs in the garden, except for one thing, one directive, one job, don't eat of the fruit, or you'll die. Don't do it, you'll die. Well, when he did that, Paul tells us that because of that one act, that one trespass, sin entered the world. And when sin entered the world, so did death. Romans 6:23 tells us, for the wages, the payment for sin is death. And it spread to all mankind. When Adam disobeyed God, when he sinned, he became alienated from God. And when that happened, he also ushered in corruption and he ushered in death. And because Adam was the head of the human race, he passed that same alienation to God, that same corruption, that same death, he passed it to us. Doesn't sound fair, does it? I mean, we weren't there. Why do we have to suffer? And the one way to possibly compare it would be to consider the owner of a company, or even the president of a country. If the owner of a country makes a decision involving his company, it affects everybody. If the president of a country makes a law, signs a law, it affects everybody in that country, be it good or bad. And that's just a little bit of a picture of what happened with Adam, who, as head of the human race, made a decision. And because of that decision, it affects us all. Now in verses 13, beginning in verse 13, Paul points to the proof that sin did affect us all. Notice he says, for sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Remember the passage in Romans where Paul said, for the wages of sin is death? Well, think about it. The law was not given to us until Moses. But yet the people between Adam and Moses still died, which is proof that there was sin even during that time, even though the law had not been given. And why was the law given? The law was given so that we would understand what sin was. Okay? Now, in our culture, many people don't want to take responsibilities for their actions. They want to blame other people or their situation. People sure don't want to call their actions sin because that word is too offensive. It doesn't make us feel good. And there was a pastor many years ago by the name of Jonathan Edwards. He preached a message entitled Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And as I was studying, one of the commentators made the comment on his sermon, and that was that it would not be accepted today because the word sin and sinners was too offensive. But folks, that's what it is. That's where we are. And so as we look at this, we need to also consider the gift of Christmas. That would be letter B in your outline. Remember, we've learned and should know that Christ did not start at the manger. He was at creation, and he's eternal. So Christ is the gift of Christmas. But think with me on this. Now, this is not in Scripture. This is my imagination that I made up in my brain. That should be enough to make you wonder. But imagine the scene. God and Jesus are in heaven. They see what Adam has done. And again, I can imagine Jesus going, "You had one directive. You had one job. And you blew it." And God looks at Jesus and says, "You know, we have to fix this." And so, after years, God gave the law to Moses. And he gave that law so that mankind would understand what they were doing was sin. So they could realize we're doing wrong. And then in Leviticus, we also see, along with that law, he gave sacrifices to do to help cover the sin. All right? This went on for years and years and years till Jesus, or till God one day looks to Jesus. And because they're one, Scripture teaches they are one, hypostatic union, he's 100% deity. God looks at Jesus, and Jesus says, "I understand. Thy will be done." So Jesus took his crown, laid it down. I can imagine the angels watching this happen going, "What? What is happening? Why is it happening?" And we need to realize it's because of God's love for you and I that he sent Jesus to pay the price. And I have no idea how it happened, but Jesus left his throne in glory, came and was born as a baby in a manger, in a stable, lying in a manger, in the earth that he created. That's what kind of blows my mind. Out of obedience to his Father, and his love for us. And so Paul begins to explain this in verse 15. He begins to compare and contrast what Adam did and what Jesus did. Look there. He says in verse 15, "The free gift is not like the trespass." Okay? For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift of the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. In other words, he's making sure we understand everybody suffered because of Adam's transgress, his trespass, his sin. But the free gift that Jesus offers is grace. And it's available to many, to all, but only many will accept it. Okay? Then Paul continues. He says, and the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment followed one trespass, brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. So here's the comparison there. Because of Adam's sin, we were judged, we were condemned, and he brought death to us. But with Jesus, after many trespasses that were caused by over here, he brought justification and righteousness and eternal life. As he says, for if because of one man's trespass, death reigned to that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. So again, through Adam, we get death, we get judgment, we get condemnation. Through Christ, we get the abundance of grace, we get the free gift of righteousness, and we get eternal life through Jesus. He's the gift of Christmas. Verse 18, therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. So again, Paul reminds us of what happened. As we think about all that Jesus did, that free gift, I was reminded that if you're in Sunday school and explore the Bible, you know, we studied about the Passover. How on day 10, the family were to bring that unblemished lamb into the house. And then on day 14, they were to sacrifice it. Now, think about that. You bring the pet lamb in. Children. Oh, we got the baby lamb with us. We get to hug him. We get to love him. Let's give him a name. Let's name him Lamb Chop. But the attachment comes. You know, the parents at bedtime are going, children, leave Lamb Chop alone. It's time to go to bed. Come on, leave Lamb Chop alone. And first thing in the morning, can we go feed Lamb Chop? Can we go hug on Lamb Chop? And then on day 14, Dad comes in and says, I need to take Lamb Chop. It's time to kill Lamb Chop so we can put blood on the lintel and the doorpost. Now, and you know the children are heartbroken because they love Lamb Chop. But realize that Jesus Christ, the unblemished Lamb, the spotless Lamb, was the only begotten Son of our Heavenly Father, whom He loved, whom He cared about, whom He sent because He loved us and said, I've got a gift for you. That's what Paul's referring to. And notice 19. Paul again references Adam's disobedience. But out of Christ's love for his Father and for you and I, he was obedient. He was obedient to leave the throne of glory, to be born in a manger. He was obedient to live a sinless life. He was obedient to die on a cross as payment for sin for you and I. He was obedient, as Scripture says, to the point of death. Why? So you and I could celebrate Santa Claus at Christmas? No. So that you and I could have life. Have eternal life if we make the decision to believe and follow Him in faith. Once He died, our Heavenly Father, God the Father, raised Him up. He ascended back to heaven, and can you imagine the reunion as Jesus enters heaven once again? And the Father says, welcome home. Welcome home, my obedient son. That's the gift of Christmas. As we celebrate the Christmas season, let's celebrate the true gift of Christmas. It's not the decorations or family or food or the presents we give to each other. The true gift of Christmas is not so much even the baby in the manger. The true gift is Jesus Christ, the eternal one who left his home in heaven, came as one born of a virgin, lived a sinless life in total obedience to his heavenly Father, died a painful death on the cross to pay for the sins of mankind that were ushered in when Adam couldn't do his one job. And he did it all to pay for your sin and my sin. And because of that, he brings us justification, which is just as we'd never sinned. He brings us righteousness. He brings us eternal life by faith, if we believe. Merry Christmas. It's the greatest gift. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Father God, thank you once again for your love. Father, I'm afraid at times that we say that or take that so lightly. But in reality, God, your love for us, we cannot even measure. We have no idea how much you love us. But Father, I pray that this Christmas season, God, as we celebrate in so many different ways, that Father, our true focus will be on you. That our true focus will be on the gift of Christmas, Jesus Christ, and not just stopping at the manger scene, but actually traveling to the cross to see what you did for us. Father, help us to come to reality in what Christmas truly means. And I pray this in Christ's name. Amen.